From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, 200th anniversary of Frankenstein. But here's what's happening. Sick people, an estimated 200,000 honeybees were killed in California when vandals and what's being described as a senseless act doused them with diesel fuel, set them on fire. Around 100 beehives containing Italian and Russian honeybees on a property toppled over, the bees exterminated with the diesel fuel. Who could be that sick? President Donald Trump has complained that Russia was helping North Korea to evade international sanctions, signaling frustration with a country that he had hoped to forge friendly relations with after his 2016 election win. Sweden's most authoritative foreign policy institute has accused Russia of using fake news, false documents, and disinformation as part of a coordinated campaign to influence public opinion and decision-making in that Scandinavian country. The Swedish Institute of International Affairs said in a study that Sweden had been the target of a wide array of active measures from Russia aimed at hampering its ability to generate public support in pursuing its policies. The study said Russia had been misleading reports on its state-run news website, Sputnik. We're going to see what happens. There's talk that there could be some armed military conflict between Russia and Sweden. My gosh. In Paris, California, city officials could find no records that the fire department conducted required annual inspections at a California home that doubled as a private school where authorities say 13 malnourished siblings were kept captive in filthy conditions by their parents. David Allen Turpin and his wife Louise have been arrested. They have been jailed on $9 million bail each. Some of the siblings were found shackled to their bed. Dr. Peter Bregan, our resident psychiatrist, with us. Peter, what kind of a sick group of people would do something like that?
Well, it's an especially sick group of people, George, because these weren't all children. Seven of them were over 18. One of them was 29.
Jesus.
And you're looking at the extreme kind of male abuse of women and of children that we see all over in lower intensities. But this is a man who literally married a 16-year-old when he was about 8 years older than her and created his own cult and his own biological children and abused them and tortured them and starved them. There's a 29-year-old down to a 2-year-old.
That's sickening.
And they look like one of the 24-year-olds looks like he's 9 or 10 years
yeah,
old.
They're malnourished and everything else. But what about the wife, Peter? She seemed to have gone along with it.
Well, that happens a lot in these situations. There's a long history of polygamous abuse of women. There's just a very long history of men undermining and destroying the confidence of women, in this case, a young girl. But, you know, I don't know enough about it to know how much she was a total collaborator with this. But to understand it, I think you have to go into cults. You have to go into, men who have, had cults of 6 and 8 and 10 people and turned them into murderers. It's one of these phenomena where a very power-hungry, sadistic male takes over a situation. And since it's the family, the offspring don't know anything else. They don't know what the outside is.
That's how they were raised. It's sad.
World. Exactly.
It is sad. He obviously was abused as a child, my guess.
Well, maybe so. I don't know. You know, sometimes pretty nasty people come out of pretty reasonable situations, and pretty really wonderful people come out of nasty situations. I'm guessing he didn't have a great family life. We do know, at least it's reported, that the girl, when she was 16, came out of a house that was very controlled, where she didn't have friends, couldn't have friends over, didn't have relationships outside the family. So she was primed to be taken over by a dominating male at an early age.
Well, I hope they throw the book at him. Peter, thank you so much. Unintentional, preventable injuries, commonly known as accidents, claimed a record high 161,374 lives in 2016 to become the third leading cause of death in the United States for the first time in recorded history, behind heart attacks and cancer. Based on this data, an American is accidentally injured every second and killed every 3 minutes by a preventable event, such as a drug overdose, a motor vehicle crash, falling, drowning, a choking incident, or other preventable incident. Wow. Well, Bitcoin's took it on the chin today. The cryptocurrency market has lost $206 billion overnight in what traders were describing as a crypto collapse, with Bitcoin heading back toward its U.S. $10,000 milestone first reached last November. It's pretty volatile, I'll tell you that. Funding to keep the federal lights on will run out at midnight on Friday unless Congress passes a new spending bill and President Trump signs it into law. If negotiations collapse, most federal agencies would close, hundreds of thousands of government workers would be furloughed, but not every part of the government would shutter. You'll still get your Social Security check if that happens. Howard Bloom, though, our expert on just about the world, I thought we'd bring him in on this one. Well, I don't think it's going to shut down, Howard. They'll probably come to a last-minute approval. What do you think?
Very little time. Here's what's happening. Three different groups are holding hostages at gunpoint and refusing to let them go unless they get their way. The president is holding the 690,000 DACA kids. That's the 690,000 children of illegal immigrants who've grown up in America. He's holding them hostage to get three things: the border wall, his end of chain migration, and his end of the visa lottery. Meanwhile, Democrats are holding the government's essential funding hostage to protect the DACA kids, to continue funding for community health care centers, to get recovery money for Puerto Rico, and to fund something that Donald Trump declared was a health emergency back in October, fighting the opioid crisis. Now, who is the third hostage taker? It's a group within the Republican Party, a group that's waging a civil war against the mainstream Republican leadership. It's the ultra-conservative Freedom Caucus. The Freedom Caucus is holding the government budget hostage to get a border wall and to get a commitment to a high level of long-term military funding. If we have a government shutdown, and right now that's looking very possible, we will live through it. We've had 11 shutdowns since 1976, and we're still here, but it'll cost us. One financial expert quoted in the business magazine Barron's predicted that the stock market will drop 1,306 points if there is a shutdown. Yes, 1,306.
Which is nothing when you're at 26,000, Howard.
Well, it's a lot. It terrifies people. And Standard & Poor's, the financial ratings agency, stated in 2013 that the shutdown of that year, a 16-day shutdown triggered by Republican Mitch McConnell, took $24 billion out of the economy and shaved at least 0.5% off of our economic growth. Mitch McConnell's goal back then was to make President Barack Obama fail at any cost. The problem with these shutdowns is that if they precipitate an economic downturn, we all fail. We lose our jobs in a recession. What's more, recessions normally happen every 5 years. We haven't had one since 2010, which means we are 3 years overdue for a recession. So triggering a turndown could be easy. Now, bear with me while I switch metaphors for a minute. We are like passengers threatening each other with guns in a big canoe. We can't afford to let Donald Trump, the right-wing Freedom Caucus, or the Democrats blow a hole in the skin of that canoe. If the American canoe sinks, we all go down.
Well, that is true, but I think they're going to reach a settlement. That's my guess. We'll find out. Thanks, Howard. A story in the news at coasttocoastam.com. Go look at it. A team of experts in Mexico has discovered two linked underwater caverns that are more than 4,000 years old and form the largest known such cave on Earth. The discovery of the cave system, which stretches 215 miles, could hold valuable information about the ancient Mayan population. That's incredible. Well, a gigantic asteroid, which is larger than the world's tallest building, will hurtle past our planet in around 2 weeks. The asteroid has been classified as a potentially hazardous one by NASA as it flies past us at 67,000 miles, 67,000 miles an hour. Wow. And in the Detroit, Michigan area, wow, last night as we reported, a fireball exploded in the sky. They are estimating it was 6 feet in diameter. I don't know how they found that out. Let's check in with Dr. Sky. How do they know how big it was, Doc?
You know, George, they make these estimates based on brilliance, and it's amazing, that story. A little after 8 p.m. local time, people throughout many states, but as you mentioned, right over the Detroit area, weather radar, George, indicates that there might be, get a load of this, for people living in a small community just a little bit to the northeast of Detroit, known as New Haven, Michigan.
Know it well.
May have a strewn field. What's that? That may be some debris that actually came down from this, now we're thinking, as you reported, a 6 foot alleged size object. But here's what it really comes down to. These type objects in astronomy are known not simply as fireballs, but bolides. It comes from the Greek word bolus, meaning missile. And in order for it to be a bolide, that fireball has to exceed a magnitude called minus 14. Put it in simple terms, the full moon is negative 12. So it's extremely bright, but on a bigger scale, a super bolide like we had in 2013, the Chelyabinsk event, a 66-foot in diameter object, is brighter than negative 17. But what's interesting about this, George, is for folks that live in that area where snow cover exists plentiful this time of year, of course, what you may be looking for, say on golf courses or in where nobody's walked through the snow yet, are objects that, of course, are like rocks, but they would have a burnt crust to the outside of them. And if this particular object is true to its form, there may be a high concentration of nickel iron in this. But again, we go back to our Arizona event, George, that we had here in 2016, another incredible bolide. This seems to be happening more frequently than many people can imagine. Nobody knows why, but simply put, as we close, it's not known to have come from any particular meteor shower. So these are random events, and again, I'm still scratching my head. 6 feet in diameter is probably simply based on two things, the brilliance, and also a 2.0 on the Richter scale earthquake type event was felt. The Chelyabinsk one produced a 4.2 Richter scale event. So more as we talk, George, fascinating story. Always keep your eyes to the skies and get those cameras out, folks, and send us those videos. Send them to Coast, of course. George, you know how to give out that info, of course, but send them to me, too, drsky@cox.net for some evaluation. Always remember, keep your eyes to the skies.
Yes, my 88-year-old mother in Detroit alerted us to the story last night. She was on the phone just like that. By the way, we have a luncheon coming up with Dr. Sky on Feb 13th. Interested, send an email to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. Up next, prophecy for 2018. John Hogue joins me next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. John Hogue with us here. John writes on the subjects of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism, and prophecy. Considered definitely a world authority on Nostradamus. He's a best-selling author as well. He's written a number of books, and we're going to talk about 2018 and some of the things that could happen through the eyes of John Hogue. John, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be back. I'm a new year.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're rolling into February already. Slow it down, John.
The quickening is happening.
It really is.
I mean, even with what your last guest just talked about, I thought, well, I'd look at my John Hogue's worldwide astrological predictions and see exactly what I wrote about 8 months ago concerning the aspects for the 19th, which is about this possible government shutdown. And I had another jaw-dropping moment when I read this. This is like 8 months ago I wrote this. Is 19 January through 4th May 1918 is the best opportunity for the whole American nation and its president to confront and take equal responsibility for why this 45th president of the nation is heading for a broken marriage. Trump's not the president. Basically, what I said is that it brings up into the forefront an astrological issue that the president is defining for his entire presidency. It's where the first two presidents had it in their birth charts, Neptune Sun Square, which in layman's terms mean that in the core of their intuition, they were sometimes self-deluded. Bush talked to God, and God told him to go to Iraq, and look where that got us.
Look where God took us on that one, right?
And, you know, in the case of Obama, it influenced his chart in making him obsessed with winning over the Republican leadership that didn't want him there, and he just was blind to it. And so he squandered his having both houses and the executive branch for the first 2 years of his 8 years. He neglected the people that were supporting him and tried to win over the opposition and spent all of his political, a lot of his political capital and momentum doing that. So that's how he was self-deceived. Now, Trump, fortunately, was not born with this issue. He is born with a very unusual Uranus over his sun in Gemini, which makes him consistently Mr. Surprise. And he'll always be turning 180s. And so that's his basic ego nature. But unfortunately for the nation and the president, the astrology of the relationship between the United States birth chart and Trump's birth chart has his sun squared Neptune in the U.S. chart's Virgo position, which, long story short, I go in great detail in these astrology books, but to make it easy for everybody and not be an astro babbler, I will say that it just simply means that it rules the cycles of boom bust, which have defined American economics. So the key for Trump's success as a one or even two-term president, or his complete failure in not finishing his first term, is how he handles turning the economy around, making jobs, making the infrastructure thing work. And you can almost see so much of what the agenda is for Trump, and by some extension, the Republican Party, is based on the gamble that the tax breaks and everything that has been done will work if there's a buildup of economics, of employment, of people's wages suddenly rising, which they've been stagnant for decades. And somehow the jobs that were lost to China, and now even in China, those jobs are being turned into robot jobs.
That's right. That's right.
That somehow the people, especially his core voters, who put a lot of faith in him turning things around in the Rust Belt and other areas, that if he turns it around, and you know this boom in the economy right now is a lot of anticipation that even that is speculative to, you know, the Wall Street going higher and higher. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 40,000 points because they've taken a lot of the risk out of it now, and a lot of the people who used to play the stocks, the only people playing now are the very wealthy, and they're playing mostly with the quantum easing money, which is funny money. It's the biggest monopoly game I've ever seen,
and it's their monopoly game.
Yeah, and there's no risk, so of course the numbers are ballooning, and of course then people look at that. It's not the real economy. The real economy is making things and buying things, and that is kind of stagnating at around 2% GDP. There's a lot of hope and a lot of projection, and it shows a lot in the prophecies that I'm looking at, that reaches a point starting on the 19th through May 2nd, when we have, so it's interesting that whatever happens on the 19th is going to begin the American people have to take stock of what they expect from their president, and the president has to take stock of what he projects equally and expects from them. It's like a relationship. People are starry-eyed and fall in love, and then they, after the honeymoon, they wonder how in the world they married this person. And the problem with this in a relationship, this Neptune-Sun square, is that everybody has the two relationships, people and the president, are projecting on each other what they think the other should be. And it's rather subconscious. So they're missing each other. And that's, you know, that's the grounds for divorce. And that's not just the people who trust Trump is going to make the cows come home and like the jobs and everything. It's equally for those people who consider themselves a part of the resistance or say, not my president.
John, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the Antichrist, who that might be, North Korea, what's going on there, and so much more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, John Hogue with us. John, this year, 2018, could be just a marvelous year or one heck of a bumpy road.
I call it, I try sometimes to define a year and where we're going with one word. And for this year, I call it the year of acceleration.
Acceleration. That, which could go either way, right?
It could, but you know, I know I'm often saying things that frighten people, but we are living in a time of crisis. I'm not going to be somebody who's saying as the building is burning down, but hey, let's look at the happy side.
Yeah, we needed to replace that wall. We wanted to repaint anyway.
Yeah, we can now remodel the place. And I use in my books and my articles as much humor as I can, because I think humor is a very sacred high form, higher than even prayer for me. And so, but with that said, the pressure is going to mount. I'm trying to look at something that will happen in this year that would be a point where some really shift happens, where, for instance, just one of several examples.
And it could be a major shift, too.
Yeah, I mean, I am hopeful that I'm seeing, because of the very source of reality bending and reality creating, the very navel of that is Hollywood, and that finally there is triggered out of Hollywood with this Me Too movement and others, that with the fall of Harvey Weinstein, has triggered what could be a potential women's movement of great significance, as significant as the suffragette movement or the civil rights movement in the 60s. But at the same time, I caution women and to not make the same mistakes that have been made before, that anything that is driven like a movement tends to sometimes get a mob psychology, and innocent people can be destroyed as well as people who need to be exposed.
Well, look what happened in the earlier days of Hollywood when they accused everybody of being a communist.
Yeah,
and careers and
it
lives.
Could be the same thing. I mean, we are repeating again in a number of ways McCarthyism. And McCarthyism is a form of a modern witch hunt based on hearsay, based on not solid evidence, and certainly a lot of hysteria and emotion. For instance, there's several of these things going on this year. One is Russia. I mean, it's interesting to note that really, if you look at evidence, that if you've ever been in court, would take anything that has been said. There is, I still say, what I've sensed at the beginning of all this, when the hacks were considered happening in the DNC, mm-hmm. a little after the election, to this day, this is a big nothing burger. This is
they're sure drawing it out, aren't they?
Well, it's like, are you a communist, or have you ever been a communist, or been involved in the Communist Party, Senator McCarthy? You know, and it has the same kind of, have you ever used the moles on your body to suckle demons? You know, and the of the inquisitors against women, poor women that were convicted of witchcraft after they were tortured and would admit to anything, as anyone who's tortured would. And then burned. It's always that fine line where there's injustice, but if it gets carried too far, this Holly Wonder could end up a Holly Weird event, in Hollywood being the creator of this. And it could see a witch hunt that's even hit the person who wrote the book that's the part of the new series, where about a misogynist future. I can't, the name of it escapes me. It's Handmaiden's Tale. And she pointed out, a woman, to her fellow women, that, you know, we've got to be careful not to just grab everybody and use hearsay to destroy people's lives. And they've savaged her today, women and men and others responding. And it's just like what happens to me when I point out that there is no there. There is, when people say, look at all the things that happened, like the Russians got into the Vermont energy system, power grid, and they took it down. You know, one thing you learn in doing this work is to always go to the back pages of the Washington Post and the back pages of the New York Times and read the corrections. And you will find, even today, the big smoking gun of many that shot blanks in the last 18 months was this whole, did that Russian lawyer who wanted to talk and give some dirt up in Trump Tower to Donald Jr.? Well, Mueller just admitted under testimony that there's no story there. That just happened. And then when you see how that won't be reported by certain news agencies that have a vested interest in doing something that I'm acutely aware of over the last 30 years of working in Hollywood, working in the news, and also working on the prophecies of Nostradamus. It's the mind trap that happens when you have something like Nostradamus' verses that sounds like this or that, and then you have to be very careful that you don't get caught up in your own preconceived conclusions and then make your investigation thinking that you're discovering stuff that, wow, that sounds just like what I feel is there. But what you're doing is you're just finding clouds in the sky that you want to find giraffes in every cloud. You'll find it in Nostradamus, his nebulous verse. And I see this, I've struggled with this, and I think transcended it over many years, and I see the same thing going on with the news agency. And I can tell you that I have videotapes on HogueProphecy.com of hidden cameras, candid cameras, where major CNN producers were caught red-handed when they were asked, is there really anything to this Russian hack story? And they say it was all BS.
Well,
we're just doing it for rating.
We will find out soon enough, John, I guess, what's going to happen.
Here's my prediction for that. The Mueller report is not going to find anything on Russia. Just like it's going to be as deep into data and evidence as Whitewater was for years, sure, under Ken Starr.
What he might do is stumble into other things.
Exactly. And it may be a similar thing that got Bill Clinton under a threat of not only impeachment but leaving office, although he was not leaving office, and that is being caught lying in the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So I really see that potential, but I do not see a political path before the midterm elections, before 2019. I'm not seeing now a political path where even the party of Trump it's very hard to impeach a president. You really have to have evidence.
You got to do something pretty darn bad.
And it is there. Now, as I hear people screaming across coast to coast, and as I anticipate the rapid fingers that are going to type in stuff on my Facebook page and other sources, my job.
Well, now let's qualify the predictions, though. Based on your ability as a predictor, or is this based on you looking at current events?
Both. But and it's not that I have a bias. If I am actually, my bias is give me the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
If Russians are not what happened the last fascist cycle in history 80 some years ago, where Germany and lots of the world, when there was a rise of anti-Semitism in the world, that led to people in Germany and other places making Jews the scapegoats for everything. Anti-Semitism, I've said years ago, might turn into anti-Russianism. It's the Russians. Just replace Russian with it's the Jews. Of course, the Jews are doing everything. There's a quality of racism in these attacks and hysteria that remind me of the movies and the documentaries and the people that bore witness of those days in the 30s in Germany, trying to pin their problems, like the Democrats losing against Trump, against that, and kind of taking the perspective away. I mean, probably Comey's FBI reports or hints of FBI reports prior to the last final weeks of the presidency probably did more to damage Hillary Clinton's presidential hopeful than anything else. But also damaged it is that I know for a fact that Bill Clinton, her husband, advised her that he saw that he knew where Trump was going to possibly win. He's going after her core voters in the Rust Belt states. And Podesta advised her not to worry about it.
I'll still remember that night you were on, and I told you, you're going to be right with the popular vote, remember?
Yes, 2.8 million votes, and also by the percentage differential, it was around a strong 2%. And so I'm, you know, and of course, that's something part of my job is to deal with the emotional outbursts that happen from all sides eventually when I make political or economic or religious.
Well, you can't win. Religion. You know that.
But the thing is that but what often I have to do in this field is I'm going to tell you something. For instance, if the scientists are studying for 3 or 4 years, I'm going to tell you three or four years earlier from intuition that's been pretty accurate what they'll find. And what will happen is people either they freak out and get angry and they demand me argue how that can be true. And I said, it's not a question of argument. I'm saying this is the outcome I foresee.
And you're either right or you're wrong.
Time and events, which I document all my predictions. Certainly this is being recorded. I make a point of everything I say is being recorded so that I can show the high accuracy of some of these kind of impossible predictions that even strike me as impossible. One that really strikes me impossible is the possibility that Donald Trump can be an 8-year president. But it's feeling even stronger now. I don't know why. If you ask me why, I'm saying, look, I'm just seeing the outcome, and now, like you, I'm going to see if there's a bridge to that future or if we break that bridge.
Speaking of bridges, I've got to ask you about South and North Korea. I've got a strange perception here that the North, Kim Jong-un, is trying to pretend he's friendly with South Korea to upend our relationship with them.
Well, what Kim Jong-un is showing is that he's a lot more clever and rational, a geopolitical gambler, than his opposite in Washington. There's so much misunderstanding. It's like with Iran, and I've written books about this, Trump strikes Syria and North Korea, and Nostradamus and the war with Iran, where a lot of the book is really trying to take my readers, especially my Western readers, into a realm that they rarely go to, and that is seeing the world from the other guy's point of view. And it doesn't mean they're right or wrong. It's just facticity that when you're a nation since 1950, North Korea, that has been existentially threatened with nuclear annihilation by Truman, by MacArthur, Truman said no, by Eisenhower, and just recently before the entire UN gathering that Korea could be completely annihilated. People forget in America, they have like two ways of seeing things. The North Koreans, like them or hate their government, need a deterrent. There's a good argument for their deterrent.
I still wouldn't trust him with nukes, though.
Well, I don't know where any North Koreans could trust us with them either. You know, we have, let's face it, who's been the only people on the planet Earth who has incinerated two defenseless cities with nuclear bombs? it wasn't the North Koreans. It was us.
I know. It did stop the war.
Well, that's also a an odd statement that's become a myth, I think, because if you study the actual records of the Japanese government during that time, the Japanese were looking for 6 months for a back channel to surrender to the United States. And the sticking point was they wanted to keep the emperor on the throne. It was days before anybody figured out that it was a single bomb that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they were the only two cities left standing. I mean, I've even seen quotes where they said, okay, so they did it with one bomb rather than 1,000 incendiaries. It doesn't matter. And what really frightened the Japanese into moving into surrender was the Soviet invasion of Manchuria, and they're about to invade Hokkaido, the northern Japanese island. They were afraid that Japan would end up like Germany.
Right. They did not want the
Soviets. They said, we'll go with the demon we know rather than the demon we don't know. And the Secretary of State, through Truman, managed to give a verbal assurance that the emperor could stay on his throne. And thus, the thing the Japanese wanted for 6 months, it could have ended the war 6 months before that.
Well, then back to our friend at North, I won't even say our friend, that's not even a joking thing, Kim Jong-un. He is cagey. I mean, I'll give you that.
Well, he is doing exactly, and it's in political terms, geopolitical realpolitik, where you just deal with what you've got to deal with. I mean, Trump did some very shrewd, interesting things with using his positive hyperbole to kind of be positively threatening, thinking that that might get things going. But, right. You know, over a year ago, I was talking about the possibility of Moon Jae-in as a president, like be a new Kennedy for South Korea, and how he would really try to actually work with the North Koreans. And here we have this unique situation.
Yeah, they're going to have the same flag at the Olympics. They're going to use the same flag with each other.
I predicted they would do that in my New Year's predictions from January 10th. I said they're going to have the team. They're going to have one of their teams is going to be mixed with both.
Yeah,
they're
amazing.
Going to march together in the opening ceremony. This is like Chinese ping pong moment. This could be
diplomacy
really
at its best.
The Koreans are trying to solve their problem.
Well, I hope so, because they are trying to put a wedge, though, between us and South Korea.
Well,
I can feel it.
Wouldn't you do it if you were, I understand why they're doing it. The question is, why does a wedge have to happen there? Why is it that, I mean, there's a simple thing that, I mean, I've been reading the communiques of what the North Korean government are asking we do. And
Hold on, John. We're already at the top of the hour. Fast enough, but we'll come back for another hour to go with John Hogue and some of his prophecies right here on Coast to Coast AM.